Do you know how much cash back you're leaving on the table for settling for the wrong credit card? Imagine earning up to 5% cash back on your groceries for the next 30 years. Just think of all that cash back you can get on those groceries. NerdWallet helps everyone make smarter financial decisions today, so the future you will thank you for it. With NerdWallet, you won't regret missing out on rewards. NerdWallet lets you compare smart cashback credit cards side by side to make the most of your everyday spending. So what could future you do with more cashback? A getaway with the kids? A spa day for yourself? Whatever it is, make it happen with a smarter cashback credit card. And don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is Ask Lisa, a podcast to help people understand the psychology of parenting now in the midst of a pandemic. Psychologist Dr. Lisa DeMore, author of two New York Times best-selling parenting books, takes your questions. And I'm co-host Rena Ninen, a journalist and mom of two. Some of what we talk about comes from raising children ourselves. Most of the time, I'll be getting answers to your parenting questions. So send your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. Episode 17, How Do I Get My Kid to Open Up? We survived Thanksgiving, going into the holidays the next few weeks. I still feel anxiety over what could be coming next, even though there's a lot of pressure off.
There is. And you know what I also feel? And every year I feel this way. I'm like, yay, the holidays. It'll be so lovely and leisurely. And then I just feel like I get this whopping new to-do list, you know, trying to make the holidays happen. And then I'm the kind of person that once I've got a to-do list, I can't really relax till it's done.
Completely.
And so it's always, I've got to stop. I've got to make sure my expectations about holiday leisure are in line with reality.
And just expectations of life where we are right now. There are some days where there are weekends where I've got a ton of stuff to do and I keep thinking about it, don't do anything. And it got me thinking about kids in general, of how they're processing everything as we're in this different phase. And we had Jeff Salingo from talking to us about college admissions and how life is just changing for so many of them in so many ways. You've told us about how to deal with kids when they're upset and when they're frustrated. But I'm wondering, Lisa, what do you do with kids who aren't expressive about how they feel, who aren't really opening up and telling you, even though you're spending all this time with them and you see each other face to face? And there's an interesting email in our inbox. It says, "Hi, Lisa. I have a 17-year-old girl who's a senior in high school. As a baby, toddler, and elementary school child, she was affectionate, expressive, and adventurous. She has always been a good kid. For the past few years, she does not want to ask for help. She also does not like to discuss her feelings when something's going wrong. My husband and I try to be there for her regularly, and we do follow the advice from experts like yourself. Also, I constantly am educating myself to be a good parent, attending presentations, reading, and listening to podcasts. I do understand teens prefer friends over parents. When I ask our girl to do something together, she does not want to, and it hurts. Any suggestions to get her to open up, please? And let her know that it is absolutely fine to express emotion. We really want a healthy relationship with her. She could be leaving home for college in the fall. Thank you kindly." What do you do? I mean, you feel the emotion. Also, you can understand the mom's time. Time is slipping away. How do you get these teens to open up to their parents when it's sort of an emotional time for them as well?
Oh, wow. I'll tell you, I had a memory while you were reading that, something I haven't thought about for a long time, that just gets at the developmental slice of this, the 17 aspect of this. And then we'll come back and talk about, you know, really kind of an all ages way to think about opening kids up, but or helping them talk or why they don't talk. But when I was 17, I was headed off to college. I went young, and somehow I got it in my mind that parents didn't take their kids to college. I don't know where I got this idea. I thought that was so strange when my parents were mentioning, like, taking me to college. Mm. And I was like, no, I'm going on my own. What are you guys talking about? And I'm kind of, like, amazed in retrospect that they honored that. And I appreciate that they did. And so my college goodbye was my folks saying goodbye to me at the airport while I put a whole bunch of stuff on United Air Freight to go from Colorado out to Connecticut. And then I got there and, you know, my grandmother who lived nearby, like, picked me up in her, like, smelly old station wagon and basically threw me on the curb at college. And lo and behold, like, everybody else's parents were there. Oh. And I was like, oh, I guess I had that all wrong. And I think it really was painful for my parents at that time that I was so needing my independence and rejecting about it. And what I wish they could have known at that time is that when I went to graduate school, I was like, hey, guys, you want to take me to graduate school? And so, you know, 5 years later, The family truckster crossed the country from Denver to Michigan where I, you know, and my dad put together my bookcases at my new little teeny apartment. And so just, I don't know, somehow that all just came rushing back. And so the first big umbrella idea here is this is a moment in development. This is a chapter in a long book of your relationship with your kid. And yes, it is true. Teenagers can become very private and very rejecting of their parents and closeness. But what I hear in this letter, and I just want to jump on it right away, is this sense of, we're closing the book. She's headed to college soon. And I want to say, no, you're closing the chapter. Mm-hmm. And this may be something that looks very different when she has had a chance to establish her independence or feel more autonomous. Certainly, sort of speaking from personal experience, it was something I needed to do at 17 and something I did not need to do at 21, 22 years old.
That's so interesting. If you had to go back, would you have them come with you, or do you feel like you developed it in a moment that that's what you needed for that moment?
I think I really needed it. And Rena, I don't even know that I knew then why I needed that. I don't even know that I know now why I needed that. But I just remember they were talking about taking me to college, and I was like, what are you guys talking about? Okay, but I love this question because it's something that happens in family life where you either suspect that your kid is upset or you know they're upset. Because, like, you know, we know our kids. And so we can tell when they're sort of, you know, stormy inside.
Yeah.
And then the parent says, how are you? What's wrong? Are you okay? And the kid either ices them out or says, I'm fine, while they frantically text with somebody, something.
Yeah.
And so...
But why do you think it is, Lisa, that the teens do this, that they are sort of suddenly like, I don't want to talk to you about this. Like, you're not going to get it. Like, what is it that you find in your experience?
Well, so this is a question that's come up enough that I did basically how I learn everything in my field, which is I just posed it to a pack of teenagers. And this, what I adore about teenagers is if you ask them a straight up question, they will give you a straight up answer. I mean, they will absolutely lay it out. So I said, actually, to a pack of teenagers, I said, okay, you guys, you know that thing when you are clearly upset and you're totally clammed up and you won't tell your parents what the deal is? And they're like, uh-huh. I'm like, what's the story? And they're like, oh, there are a number of reasons why that happens.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay. So the first one they said is, well, we know what you're going to say. So maybe we're upset because we messed up a math test, and it's the same math test that 2 nights ago you asked if I'd studied enough for, and I, like, you know, shook you off. I was like, yeah, why are you bothering me? And now I've messed it up. And so now if I tell you and I'm upset, and if I tell you that that's what I'm upset about, I know what you're going to say and I don't really want to hear it. And I thought, okay, that could totally happen in my house.
Right, absolutely.
So there's that. Another thing they told me is it's complicated. And they gave an example of something like, okay, so there's this girl, we'll call her Susie. I'm just making that up. And you don't like her. And you don't like her because she's often mean to me, or she has been mean to me over the years. And I'm upset because she was mean to me. But, and this is pre-COVID times, but in 2 weeks, I know Susie's having a party and I totally want to go. And so if I mention to you today that I'm upset about things with Susie, in 2 weeks, when I tell you I'm headed over to Susie's, you're going to be super weird about it. And I don't want to deal with that. So I'm going to have to sit here silently and stew about Susie because I can't tell you what's going on.
Wow. They understand that it's complicated, that there's other things that make it a little messy.
Well, and it's such a great, we think we're so neutral as parents, right? Yeah, like we're like, I'm here just to support you. And we completely forget about all the ways we've had conversations with our kids, that any conversation is happening in the context of, 100,000 conversations we've had, and they're bearing that context in mind. And we somehow see ourselves as, fresh and new to the topic, as opposed to they're like, oh man, I know what it's like to go around this block with you and I don't want to do it.
I don't want to. So like, what should you do? You want that relate. And what's so interesting about this letter is she had an awesome relationship, it sounds, in elementary and junior high school, which makes me terrified because I'm thinking, wow, my relationship is great with my kids. You mean it can change in high school, like all of a sudden? I know most parents kind of get that. I feel a little behind the eight ball on that, but it sounds like she had this great environment, but then it changed. How do you get them to open up?
Well, there was something in the letter the mom said about, I ask her to do things and she doesn't want to do them, and that's painful.
Yeah.
And I was like, oof, right? I think as a parent of a teenager, most people have been there. And it is hard. I mean, Rena, what you're describing of the closeness you enjoy right now, I think for so many parents, especially when their kids are 8, 9, 10, 11, they're like, all right, we're good, we're close, I think we'll be okay. And then they feel like their kid broke up with them, and that they're still calling and like, do you want to go somewhere? And their ex is like, no, why are you still calling? And it's not that fun. Because you live with your cranky ex.
Great analogy.
So I guess, here's what I think. I do think teenagers also put bids on the table of how they want to spend time with us, and it's easy to miss the bid. So the teenager might bring up a topic. I hear this from kids, that their parents will give them a whole bunch of quizzing, when they see them maybe at the end of a school day, what happened? Kids like, rah, go away, you're asking too many questions. And then later in the day, or in the evening, the teenager will be like, oh, English class was so dumb today. And the parent is already on to the next thing or deep in their email or thought just isn't in the mode of having a conversation. And so I think sometimes we have to be a little more alert to that. Another thing, which I just think we can't say enough about, teenagers actually do generally want adult company. They just don't want us quizzing or asking or pushing. Like, they don't want an agenda.
How are we supposed to find out, Lisa, what they're up to? If I can't do this by osmosis. I can't connect my head to them and realize what's going on.
Well, one question is, do you need to know? Right? So, Rena, have you had situations where you can tell your kids are a little out of sorts? And, do you need to know?
I feel like I, as a parent, have an obligation to know, they're not fully developed humans, I feel like. So I've got to intervene. It's like the mother, a hen or whatever animal you want to call it. I feel like it's my duty.
Okay, but let's play this out. All right, so I'm going to just make something up. All right, okay. So let's say that one of your children got into a fight with a friend.
Yeah.
And they're not wanting to talk about it with you, maybe because you're friends with a friend's mom or they feel like you're going to get on the phone and call somebody and talk about it, which is another reason kids told me they don't tell their parents stuff.
That's interesting.
They'll blab. But let's imagine that your kid is going to just be completely clammed up about it. But you can observe that they are upset. Truly, truly, why do you need to know? Let's really think through why you need to know and what it means to not know.
I think sometimes I also like them to be able to process things on their own. So I don't need to know every single moment. But there are other times where I feel like if it bothers them so much, then I need to know, right? If it keeps happening over and over again, or there's something that's bothering, and it might not even be a relationship with somebody. Maybe it's something else that happened in their day or something that somebody said, right? But don't I need to know? What if there's something that could affect his development, right? Shouldn't I intervene?
Well, so let's think, right? I mean, it's really, when you start to scrape away at it, right, you realize we're really grasping for why we need to know what is upsetting our children. I mean, obviously, if it's something like dangerous or awful or frightening, you know, really way out of bounds in the normal course of development. But, you know, certainly getting into a fight with a friend, you know, that's pretty garden variety stuff. So you're now thinking, well, maybe you need to know because what if it derails development?
Yeah.
How would you know if it were derailing development? Like, what would your signs be? Like, when would you know that?
I just worry about withdrawal. And if there's a withdrawal and they're not communicating with me, my red flag goes off.
Okay. Would you be satisfied if you knew they were talking to somebody else, like a peer or a coach or something?
Yeah, because I think at least they're processing it, right?
I think that's right. I think that's right. Okay, so here's like, this is cool. Like, it kind of opens up when you really, you know, scrape at it. So one thing we have to consider is maybe there's some contextual factors we want to account for and why our kids are not talking to us. And we should come back to that one about blabbing, and we will. The other is, do they have to talk to us? And so one possibility that I think then presents itself in terms of thinking about this mom's email is that she might say to her daughter, or might come to peace with the idea of saying to her daughter, look, I get it that we're not the ones you can share with right now. So long as you're sharing with someone who you trust and who can help you process, I'm good with that. Mm. Like, that would be something you could say.
Mm. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Ask Lisa podcast. Stitch Fix sends style so good, you can feel it. They deliver all the confidence that comes from a truly amazing outfit without any of the work. You don't have to get into your car. You don't have to go through hangers and figure out what section to find what you're looking for. It's so simple. What my stylist does is they take my wardrobe to the next level. She shows me what works for me. She helps me discover new things that I like that I wouldn't have picked up if I was browsing online or even walking through a store. As the seasons change, you want different things. And when there are big events in your life that you want to dress up for, Stitch Fix has you covered. And I also love that I've got everyday staples from Stitch Fix that feel good on, that I am constantly reaching for in my wardrobe. Style that makes you feel as good as you look. You can get started today at stitchfix.com/AskLisa. That's stitchfix.com/AskLisa. stitchfix.com/AskLisa.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
On Our Minds is a podcast about the teenage experience, made by teens for teens.
There's a lot on our minds, and talking about it helps.
On Our Minds Season 4 is produced by PBS NewsHour Student Reporting Labs in collaboration with KUOW's Radioactive Youth Media.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Ask Lisa podcast. So Lisa, I want to go back to what you said about because you're blabbing and they're worried that you're going to talk to the other moms, because, you know, parents do that often. You know, we in the sense of, we don't mean it maliciously, but we're trying to figure out this age and, you know, are there people experiencing the same things? So if you feel like you've blown it with your child and your child knows that you maybe shared something with a parent, how do you get that back? Like, how do you get them to trust you again?
So this is really important. And you're right. Like, parents very rarely blow this, even realizing they're doing it. You know, because part of what happens is our kid tells us something that feels like completely like, oh man, I remember that happening, and we get on the horn about it. And we don't realize that that felt like a state secret to our child. You know, because it feels so small, it feels so generic, like we could give you, you know, 100 yeah. versions of that same story. But to your kid, it may be very closely held. And then, you know, even if it's like the, we call and check in with a teacher, you know, my son said he got teary in class today, right? And yeah. then the teacher the next day goes, oh, I heard from your mom. The kid's like, oh, right? And, and it, so we have to always bear that in mind, that sometimes the thing where we blew it, we don't even realize that it feels that way to our kid because it seems so small to us and it's so huge to them. So first and foremost, parents should be open to that possibility. Then I think you actually just say, you say, look, you know, I realize looking back that there may have been times when I spoke freely about something you shared with me, and I wish I hadn't. And just own it. And then I actually think, and this is something I think parents should do either way, whether they're apologizing for past transgressions or whether they're trying to lay the groundwork, I actually think you should talk really openly with your kid about what you will and won't share. And I think you should say, and Rena, you could say this to your kids at their ages right now. I actually think that your kids, because they're 8 and 9, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect ages for this. And you can say, look, home is a vault. You can come home and dump it all. It will go nowhere unless you want me to reach out and we'll work together on that, or someone's safety is really in danger. Beyond that, you know, just assume that I will not repeat it. To a soul, you just have this as a safe place to talk. And you can either do that as a, you know, proactive thing or say, okay, now going forward to repair past errors, I just want you to know those are the only two exceptions. Mm. And then you have to do it. You can't say that and then not stick to it.
Is there, you know, when you look at this letter, the mom says she's asked the daughter to do things with her and the girl says no. Maybe not so uncommon with teens, but if you are in that situation, is there a way to get them to do more with you?
Yeah, I think there usually is. And I think there usually is if we do what they want to do. And this is sometimes where parents get stuck, is the parent is like, hey, do you want to like go run errands with me? Or hey, do you want to go see this movie with me or whatever? And the kid's like, nah. And if the parent were to say, what would you like to do? And the kid says, I want to go watch Grey's Anatomy on the couch. And you say, can I come? The kid might be like, sure. Right? So that might not be what the parent had in mind, but that's doing something together that does fit with the kid's interests. And then that is company. Or going and getting your nails done, you know, once the pandemic's over. Or, you know, being open to what they want to do and agreeing to do it, even if it's not your first choice.
So I'm hearing from you, being open, even if you've made a mistake, just owning it and telling them that sometimes that can make a difference, that there are times that they don't even want you necessarily to litigate or help them fix the problem, that just being a presence in their life and doing something can also be a way of healing this.
Absolutely. And I think that's the part where I think about this all the time, that when we know our kid's suffering, I think all parents have a pretty clear sense of how they think that should go from there, which is that I say to my kid, hey, kiddo, what's wrong? You seem upset. And the kid says, oh, I'm so glad you asked. Blah, 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 blah. This and this and this and this. And we say, oh, here's my years of wisdom and advice, and I get to love you and care for you by, you know, guiding you along. I think that's our idea of how this is going to go down. Which if you say it out loud, you're like, okay, that seems highly unlikely. And so it was so funny, Rena, when I was talking to these teenagers, there's always a moment where I learned so much. I mean, they taught me so much in this conversation. And right at the end, this girl raises her hand and she says, here's the thing. By the time I get home, I am 90% of the way over whatever it is that made me upset. And rehashing the whole thing for my mom is not going to help me feel better. And I thought, oh, man. Okay, so then the question is like, but you can still do something as a mom. So you can see that your kid somehow is in that. You don't know it's the last 10%, but they're upset. They don't want to talk. But you can still be comforting, right? And this is, Rena, a little bit why I was like, well, why do you really need to know? Like, you know, you don't always need to know. So you can still recognize that they're upset and then just offer like kind of generic comfort. Say like, oh, looks like it was a hard day. Like, do you want some tea? Or do you want to go watch some TV with me? Or do you want some space? Or I think there's that way that we underestimate that, oops, okay, here it comes again, steady presence.
Yeah.
You know, that steady presence idea.
You talk about that so much. Why is that so important? You know, being there. You don't have to keep talking over every issue, especially if it's going to throw them over the edge. But is this about building trust? Is that why you say just being a steady presence, just being there, not having to go over things over and over again is so good?
I think it is, right? Because it's a two-way street actually happening in the trust in the moment, which is, one is, you're saying to the kid, I'm here. Like, I don't actually even need to know. Like, I'm just here. I'll be here no matter what. I'm just here. The other is you're saying to the kid, I trust you that if you really need help, you're going to tell me. Like, that if it's, you know, or if it's serious, you're going to do something. So I'm also going to trust you and your assessment that this is below the line of what I need to know.
And maybe on some level, knowing that you trust them helps build up their reservoir of faith in themselves.
Bingo. I think that's totally it. I think that is a wordless communication of the idea that healthy people get upset, healthy people recover. I am not panicking because you are obviously upset. I am going to trust that you have the resources and the wherewithal to get through this time. I'm here to offer beverages, if that would help. But it's that vote of confidence, really, that, oh, I see you're upset. I trust you're going to get yourself through that. I'm here for, you know, kind of backup if you need it. And so in some ways, not doing the interrogation, not suggesting, like, this can only be fixed when I fix it, is part of actually how we help kids grow.
Mm. It's hard letting go, though, sometimes, even as a parent, especially as you know the years are slipping through. And I love what you said, though, because I keep thinking years are slipping through and I get emotional thinking about my kids going off to college. But you say it's not the end of the book. It's the end of a chapter.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So ultimately, Lisa, when should a parent worry?
Yeah, right. I mean, because if we're saying, don't worry, you don't need to know, it's okay, just be there. When should a parent worry? You actually said something that I think gets at the heart of it, which is this idea of developmental derailment, right? That you would be worried if you, you know, or that your worry was that one of your children might be getting off track developmentally. And that's actually how we measure grounds for concern in child and adolescent psychology, which is this idea, and the technical terminology we use is if there's an interference with progressive development. And if we think about it, what we mean is kids' job is to grow, right? They should be moving forward and developing. And they're doing this in a lot of areas at once. You know, they're doing it in terms of their social skills, in terms of their ability to manage themselves, in terms of their intellectual, their cognitive skills, in terms of their ability to manage emotions. And we want to see a general forward progress. Like, not every day, all the time. They can sometimes have rough days. But if you start to feel like your kid is stuck or going backwards, then you can definitely, I think, should probably be asking more questions about, you know, how they're doing. And sometimes a great person to ask those questions of is actually a teacher, because they have a view that we as parents don't always have.
And you think they pick up on things that we might just not see, even if it's a Zoom classroom call.
I think even in a Zoom classroom call. And the reason I so love and trust teachers in these moments is, you know, let's say you've got a ninth grader. Okay, you've got one ninth grader. They have, you know, 100 ninth graders. And in their career, they've seen probably, you know, 1,000 ninth graders at least. Mm-hmm. And so these questions of progressive development are often very well posed to or considered by teachers who can actually measure your child in an age band against, you know, 1,000 other examples, and then let you know, yeah, no, I see what you mean. Like, he is doing a really bad job with getting his stuff in, or he is, you know, he is struggling in these ways. And we can tend to trust their assessment of whether or not there are real grounds for concern.
Just how important these teachers and counselors are, especially in the midst of a pandemic. I feel like they never get enough praise and attention. But that's great to say. And I also love how you said there's so much they can handle. you've got to give them a little bit of trust. And sometimes just being a steady presence can help instrumentally, than as opposed to just going through and problem solving with them.
Yeah, you know, so much of being a parent is gradually handing over to your child responsibility for themselves. You know, we bathe them when they're little and then we turn that over to them. We do so much of that, you know, feeding them and then having them make their own lunches. This is another version of that, where it used to be that the problems got solved because they told us the problems. And we have to be okay with the idea that that's something that we're going to also hand over to them, is the problem solving and the managing their painful feelings.
Letting go isn't always easy.
Nope. But it's what we do. But you can still take your kid to graduate school.
Or college, if they'll allow you to, but give them the space.
Exactly.
So why don't we turn to Children Everywhere, Lisa? What's your charity of the week?
So for this week, I want to talk about Kiva, which can be found at kiva.org. This is an incredibly cool organization that does microfinance loans in 80 countries on 5 continents. And these loans can be as small as $25, and they are to help people either with small businesses or student fees or farming equipment, things like that. And so when you donate to Kiva, what you're actually doing is you're making a small loan, which then gets repaid, and you can decide to whom you loan it. And the reason I'm thinking about them right now is that I use these as stocking stuffers for my girls.
Oh,
it's so cool. So I give them each a $25 Kiva gift card, and then we go online and they choose to whom to lend the money. And the country, they tend to choose women. I mean, it's like the coolest thing ever. Mm. And then it renews. And eventually the loan comes back to you and you can reinvest it. So it's such a neat way. And especially around sort of the gift-giving time of year, I love giving this to kids to sort of involve them in philanthropy and get them thinking about loans and countries and places and people, you know, very far away and different from them. So it's kiva.org, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Terrific. It's, in fact, a way to travel and see other people and how they're doing and living and right from your own home and help out. I love it.
Yeah.
So this week for Parenting to Go, what do you have for us?
Let's do a zoom out on what we talked about today, which is you don't always need to know what's made your child upset to be able to offer them comfort. And we should not underestimate the comfort of being quiet, available, supportive, but having no agenda beyond just being there in a warm and accessible way.
No agenda. And sometimes as parents, we all come with agendas because we think that's the best way to deal with things.
I think that's right. And I think so often the adults who surround kids have an agenda. Their teacher has an agenda. You know, sometimes their grandparents have an agenda. The agendaless adult is a huge gift to a child or teenager.
Takes a lot of pressure off just hearing you say that.
Good. Good.
Thanks so much, Lisa. See you next week.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Ask Lisa podcast so you get the episodes just as soon as they drop. And send us your questions to AskLisa at drlisademore.com. And now a word from our lawyers. The advice provided on this podcast does not constitute or serve as a substitute for professional psychological treatment, therapy, or other types of professional advice or intervention. If you have concerns about your child's well-being, consult a physician or mental health professional. If you're looking for additional resources, check out Lisa's website at drlisademore.com. We'll see you next week.